All right, we're still in Matthew, you know, working our way through Matthew and through the parables. And last week we covered Matthew 23 at our house, so you all will get the CD for that. And we'll just go on into Matthew 24 this week. Yeah, right here they are. Yeah, make sure that they get those before we leave. Well, this is Matthew 24, but I'm going to title it, What Are the Fowl of the Earth? And we're going to get down to that in a little bit, and that'll take up most of our Bible study here today. And we probably won't get through this entire chapter, but we'll see how it goes. And Jesus went out, Matthew 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, See you not all these things? I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Now, you know, when you read the Bible, you see the words that are in front of you, and you think of the temple that they were standing in front of, and how huge the stones are, and they're huge stones. They're huge stones. You just wonder how they actually got those stones there. It's not exactly like the pyramids, but they're huge stones. I mean, tons and tons in each stone. And they came from way off, you know, nothing ever came from right around there. They were brought, some of them, from way, way off. And so, that's what's in your mind, is the physical. But I'm telling you, as Christ tells you later in this chapter, let him that reads understand. Let him that reads understand. Now, anybody can read. Everybody has eyes and everybody has ears. But that's not what he's talking about. And when you hear, there will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down, this is not talking about the stones of the temple to you or to me, to God's elect. This is talking about what's in our lives. The old Adam and all of his great accomplishments, great big stones and cities and kings and kingdoms and everything that's within Mike Vinson is going to be thrown down and cast down. And that is the message for us. And if we don't see these spiritual truths behind these physical letters, then we're not getting anything out of what Christ says later in this chapter when he says, whoso reads, let him understand. When you read, understand that every word of the Bible, every word, Genesis to Revelation, has a meaning behind the letter. And the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Now that's the truth of God's word right there. So keep that in mind. Everything we read here is for Mike Vinson. It's not for somebody else. It's for Mike Vinson. Okay, verse 3. Or let me just go back to make this point. Matthew 21, verse 44. Whoever will fall on this stone will be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You see, these are the stones in the temple that we need to be thinking of. Now verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? King James World, the word is age, 165 aeon. And I want you to notice that this is not being said to the multitudes. This is being said to his disciples privately. So, what you're about to hear here is something that that just a few people got to hear at the time it was said. Matthew 24, verse 3. So what's being said here, once again, is talking about the end of my age, not the end of someone else's age. The end of my world, when my stones are not upon one another again. It's got to be applied personally and inwardly. Now, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, this is in answer to the question, What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus is talking directly to those disciples 2,000 years ago, and he tells them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Now, you know, when I was in the Worldwide Church of God, we speculated that this was people like Sun Young Moon saying that he was Jesus Christ. That's not many. It's a rare person who does such a thing. Rare. But there are many people who come in Jesus Christ's name and who teach Jesus Christ and who do many wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ, all in the name of Jesus Christ, but who don't have one bit of use for the words of Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? And this is who Jesus Christ is talking about here. He's not talking about an occasional person who claims to be Jesus Christ, like Sun Young Moon. He's talking about many people. Many means majority. Many means majority. Many means majority. Most people will come in Christ's name, saying that he is Christ, and will deceive most people. In other words, the Christian religion. I mean, let's just say it what it is. Let's just call things what they are. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And once again, you know, let me just say it again so we can stay focused here. Apply all of this inwardly. Realize that this is talking to Mike Vinson. Mike Vinson has been deceived. Mike Vinson was taken into the Babylonish system of the Christian religion that claims to know Christ and does many wonderful works in his name. And Mike Vinson was deceived. He was one of the many deceived. And if you don't see that, you're going to go to church every Sunday and think that you're not deceived. This isn't talking about you. This is talking about somebody else. No. This is Mike Vinson. Don't put it off on somebody else. Keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, the sayings of the prophecy of this book have a lot of bad things in them. And you got to keep them all. It's the knowledge of tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you don't have your senses exercised to know both good and evil by going through it, you know, then you're going to be right there in Hebrews 6, chapter 1. I mean, verse 1 of chapter 6. Teaching all these six doctrines, you know, laying on of hands, repentance from dead works, baptisms, eternal judgment, and whatever the other two are, and you're going to think you've got the meat of the word, and you're not even off the bottle. We're talking about meat here. We're talking about strong meat. We're talking about the things of the Spirit, because we want to get beyond the letter. The letter kills. Those six doctrines kill. Those six doctrines kill. You know, that's what's so deceitful about the whole thing, is the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are used to keep people from going on to maturity. Resurrection from the dead, that was one of those six doctrines that keep you from ever amounting to a hill of beans in Christ. You gotta have them. I mean, yeah, you gotta have them. But if you don't go beyond the veil, if you go to the veil and stop, you know, you go right into the holy place. Boy, there's the showbread and the on the right and the candlestick on the left. And there's the altar of incense right in front of you. But if you don't get past that second veil, it's all for naught in this lifetime. You'll get past it in the next age, in the lake of fire, through the lake of fire. That's what we're here to avoid, is that lake of fire. But many, that is most, you know, are going to preach in Christ's name and deceive many. Nation will rise against nation in Mike Vinson. Kingdom against kingdom in Mike Vinson. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places in Mike Vinson. All these are the beginnings of sorrows in Mike Vinson. Then they'll deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, why would they hate a dead man? Because it's after you die to the flesh that you begin to be hated. Do you see what I'm saying? They'll deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you. That's good. That's the best thing that happens to you right there. When you die. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it can't bring forth fruit. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Who's he talking about here? Is he talking about heathen people? No. He's talking about many people who are deceived thinking they know Christ. That's the subject. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about people who have never heard the name of Christ and who have never been called. We're talking, Christ is talking, about people who have been called, who have accepted him, who come in his name, do many wonderful works, and deceive people. That's the topic we're discussing here. And at that point, many are offended and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets, false what prophets? False Christian prophets arise and deceive many. He keeps saying that. And because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And that's the litmus test right there. That's a litmus test. By the way, did y'all hear that Adrian Rogers died this past, or the 15th anyway? Died on the 15th? Adrian Rogers. But Adrian was my favorite Babylonian prophet. No, he was on the, Robbie's good, you know. But I never got to hear him because he comes on late. And I get to hear Adrian going to work sometimes in the morning. And on the job, I would listen to him sometimes. And the reason I liked listening to him was because he was a powerful speaker, you know. I'd give anything just to have his voice, you know, that big, deep, powerful voice. And his delivery was so good. And, you know, I'm sure he was a very good man, a very good man. But he despises the words of Jesus Christ. You know, he makes it very clear that if you think that love your enemy means to love your enemy, you're stupid. Love your enemy means love your Christian enemy. If a brother in Christ does you wrong, then you should return good for evil. Yeah, right. You should love your Christian brother, but if somebody actually means you bodily harm, he says, step on them like a cockroach. If somebody breaks into your house, you blow them away to the glory of God. That's Adrian Rogers' advice. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now this is many coming in my name, saying they're following me, using my name, claiming that they love my words and my doctrine, and they deceive many. That's most, the majority. The love of many wax cold, but that's the litmus test, because God is love. And while you can talk love all day, it's hard to live love. It's hard to turn the other cheek. You can't do it. It takes Jesus Christ in you to do it. Adrian Rogers didn't have it. Billy Graham doesn't have it. And no one else who tells you to kill people have the love of Jesus Christ. I'm not judging these people. I'm judging their doctrine. Jesus Christ can decide where they go. That's his decision. But my decision, my commission is to try the spirits. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's why we try the spirits. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But now, see, here's who is saved. This is what separates the called from the chosen. Right here, this verse, Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that endures faithful to my word to the end, the same shall be saved. Nobody is saved right now. Yeah, they're converted. Oh, yes, they're converted. But being converted is not saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. In other words, when they're resurrected, they're saved. You're converted. You're living a good Christian life. But read Ezekiel 3. It'll just come right out and tell you. No matter how good a life you live, if you just turn your back on it right at the end, all your good works account for nothing. And no matter how evil you've been, if you turn from your evil works, all your evil works account for nothing. It's what you do at the end that counts. The workers that came in the last hour received their wages before the people who had been there working all day. Working. They were working, doing the same works that the other people did.
Yeah. I'm speaking about the love. You know, if Christians get mad because someone comes in at the last hour and receives the same pay as them, they don't have the love.
There you go. Now that's the point, bro. If you have the love of Christ, you're not the least bit perturbed at what God does. All things are of God to you. He could give the house away, you know, and you'd say, amen, Father. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. It's yours to do with as you see fit. Like, just like he tells the people who complain. He says, can I not do with my own as I want? Is your eye evil because mine is good? Did I not give you what I said I would give you? Did Christ not die for the sins of the whole world? Yes, he did. They are saved, are going to be saved in a resurrection. We are not saved by his crucifixion, but we are saved by his life. Resurrection is what saves. And they that endure to the end shall be saved. No.
Testified on TV from Katrina. You know, yeah. They didn't really know, you know, had the real experience of the love of Christ, but they knew enough to say, well, you know, God, he's going to work it all out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the news people were trying to say, oh, this ain't God. The religious people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is not of God.
Yeah, yeah. Jesse Duplantis. Yeah. Yes, Jesse Duplantis.
All of them.
There was a few of them
were
saying, oh, yes, it was. It was the
wrath of God. Mm-hmm. Some rap artist said the hurricane was of God.
Franklin Graham and his sister. Wow. Not God.
Oh, really?
That is just disasters, natural disasters.
Natural disasters. Pat Robertson approach.
You know, it's the difference between Mother Nature and God.
Yeah. In their eyes.
There's a Mother Nature and there's God.
Uh-huh. If God could just get a hold of Mother Nature, he'd have things under control. Okay, let's see. And this gospel of the kingdom, now think internally again, think spiritually. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. When you therefore, now since that has been said, since the gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Now, what did Matthew 24, verse 14 mean to you? Does it mean to you that the churches of Babylon have to get the gospel preached in Europe and Asia and Africa and South America? Is that what it means? Well, that's been done for years. It's been in all the continents of all the world for years. For many years. But if you still think that nations and kingdoms and mountains and rocks and all these things are out there somewhere, you don't understand verse 15 at all. Whoso reads, let him understand. These things are mountains, rocks, kingdoms within Mike Vinson, within Lonnie Vinson, within Frank Smith, and within Billy Mitchell, and within each of us. These kingdoms are within. And this gospel of the kingdom has got to go in there and tear these kingdoms down. There's got to be a great earthquake that destroys all of these kingdoms within us. These heads of the beasts, these mountains of the beast, these 10 horns of the beast that is within. Then you understand what's being said in Matthew 24 and in the book of Revelation and throughout the entire Bible. Throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's all to be understood as a message to the Spirit, because God is Spirit. And all that you see and touch is just His way of getting through to you what's going on in the powers and principalities that you're really wrestling against. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against what happens in Russia or China or in the United States. You're not wrestling against what NOW is doing or the National Abortion Rights Group or the Homosexual Rights Group or any other thing that you might oppose in the flesh. You're not wrestling against those people or those things. You're wrestling against your own flesh in your own spirit, in your own heavens. That's where the battle is taking place. The kingdom of God is within you. And the heavens within you, the heavens must be cleansed. That's what the Bible teaches. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world. What is the world? What is the world now? We went over that last week. It'll be on here. Is that not right? Yeah. What is the world? It's on the CDs from last week. You just have to listen to it. The world is the church. It's the doctrines of the church within us. That's the world. And there's a lot of scriptures on that CD to back that up. This gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world. To convert the world? Nope. Let's just read it. Preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. What is the holy place? You, your heart, your mind. That is the holy place because you are the temple. And the temple is in the heart. I mean, the holy place is in the heart of the temple. It's at the very end of the temple, the last room you go into. First you go into the holy, and then you go into the holy of holies. And that's where the abomination of desolation sets himself up, right where Christ should be. I know that you dwell where Satan's throne is. That's what God says to the church of Pergamos. Pergamos is the rest of the church. It's all the same church. Seven churches just means the complete church. You know, Paul wrote to seven churches. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Thessalonians. Seven churches. They're all one church. Do you think the book of Thessalonians is for the Thessalonians and not for the Colossians? No. Absurd. It's one Holy Spirit. No, prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, of its own interpretation. You've got to take it as a whole. The whole Bible is the truth. The sum of your word is truth. Anything less is less than the truth. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. But what is the abomination of desolation? It is Satan ruling in your life. It is him having you for lunch, eating the dust that you are. That is the abomination to desolation. And you will see that when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the nations, in you, in me, in each of us. Then you will see that beast sitting on that man of sin sitting on the throne in your heart, doing what he wants and never having lost a battle. Once you see that, you finally got a handle on what the problem is. You finally can understand what you're reading. Until you see that, you can't understand one word of the Bible. Not one word. And so we've got a whole Christian religion. Blind as a bat, naked as a jaybird, thinking they're doing the works of Jesus Christ and deceiving many. Don't know anything in the Word of God. The Lord God has taken away from them. Isaiah 3 verse 1. The whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Those two types of the Word of God. The water and the bread. The Word of God. Take eat. This is my body. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ's body is the Word. He's the Word. Okay. Matthew 13 verse 9. This is just explaining Matthew 24 here. Matthew 13 verse 9. It says, whoso reads, let him understand. In Matthew 13 verse 9, it says, who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him in Matthew 13 verse 10, I'm going to read a few verses here in Matthew 13 because that is the chapter that makes this so clear that it's not what you see in front of you, but it's what's behind it that is true. It's not the letters, it's the Spirit. And Paul tells us clearly that the things of the Spirit are hidden, the hidden things of the Spirit. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said, "Because it's given to you. No, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." It's just not given to the masses that sit there and listen to Christ, come to church every Sunday and sit in the pews. It's not given to them to understand the Word of God. It's given to you. It's given to you. You're a blessed person. You should rejoice in it, but it's not given to them. I was just telling you all about this letter I got this past week. Who are you guys? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You walk around in this coat of many colors and you think you're better than the rest of us. I didn't ask for the coat of many colors. It was thrust upon me. And it was thrust upon me because I was willing, and of course it's all the work of God, it's all the work of God, willing to bring my brother's evil report to my father. That's why I got the coat of many colors. I was willing to take the shame of all my 10 brothers with their 10 commandments and all their righteousnesses. But all the while they're being so righteous, they're ripping their father off. They're fleecing the flock. They're abusing the flock. Joseph was watching the flock with his brothers, and he brought to his father their evil report. Genesis 37, verse 1. He was 17 years old when he did that. And as a result of that, he got this coat of many colors, and after the coat of many colors, he had dreams of ruling over his brothers. Ruling over his brothers. If you don't like your coat of many colors, if you're not willing to be separated from your brothers, you'll not receive the blessings of Joseph. When Jacob was about to die, Israel was about to die, he called everybody in, and he blessed them all according to their blessing. But he really laid it heavy on Joseph, and it says these are the blessings that will come on him that was separated from his brothers. If you're not willing to be separated from the rest of the Christian world, you're gonna be the 10 brothers of Joseph. That's who you will be. You will go through that lake of fire, and you will miss out on ruling over all Egypt. Now that is what will happen if you're not willing to come out of Babylon. Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those people sitting out there, the multitudes who hear the words of Christ, it's not given to them. For whosoever has in the church, to him will be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not will be taken away from that, taken away even that he has. When you first come to Christ, you have a certain heart for Christ. I don't care how young you are at the time, spiritually or physically. You have a certain desire to please Christ. And you may give up drugs or any kind of carnal desire. You may give it up and do many wonderful works for Christ. But if you don't continue in the words of God and in the words of Christ, if you don't remain faithful and you give up on serving Christ, then you will have what you had taken away from you. And 7 spirits, worse than the one that was driven out, will come back in. And you'll never be aware of any of it. You'll think that you're doing the works of Christ, when in reality, you're 7 times worse off than you were. Now that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Christ taught. Those are His words. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, all the fellow Christians, all your brothers, they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, hearing you'll hear, not understand, seeing you'll see, and not perceive. Oh, but they see. They see. They just don't understand. They see the letters, and they don't see all this stuff that we're seeing behind the letters. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, Why? How can you not see with your eyes? How can you not see, hear with your ears? You hear the preacher preach it every Sunday. You're following along in your Bible. How can you miss it? You don't know the things of the Spirit. That's how. That's how. Because the words that I speak unto you are not physical words with physical letters. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. I've been over that so many times, I'm not going to bore you with it again, but you know that the words in God's Word have a meaning behind the meaning. A lamb is not a lamb. A woman's not a woman. And a lion's not a lion, and we could go on and on. All of these things have spiritual meaning behind them. A temple is not a temple, and yet the whole Christian world is looking for a temple to be built in Jerusalem. All the while, the man of sin is sitting on the throne, dictating to them, and never has lost a battle. Who can make war with the beast? No human. Not you, not me, not anyone else can make war with the beast. He has never lost a battle when he went up against flesh. And the only time he will ever lose a battle is when he comes up against Jesus Christ in us. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. This is talking spiritually. Well, their eyes are wide open. They see and can see the context and all that. They just can't see the things of the Spirit. Lest at any time they should see with their spiritual eyes and hear with their spiritual ears and understand with their spiritual heart and should be spiritually converted, and I should spiritually heal them. This is not talking about physical healings. It's not talking about physically casting out demons. This is talking about getting rid of the false doctrines in your life. That's spiritual healing. That's spiritual casting out demons. That's spiritually trying the spirits.
That's one part right there that the Christian world cannot explain. Why did he put healing down there instead of saving them?
Yeah.
I used to ponder that.
Well, I tell you what, I give a talk in this last Mobile conference where you will get an earful of that. Yes, it does, bro. It surely does.
So you don't have to be sick to get saved.
That's right.
Only spiritually sick.
Yeah, yeah. You are sick.
Yeah.
You're born sick and marred. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. We're continuing on with Matthew 24 here, and I started in verse 16 there. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. What is he talking about here? How's this got an inward application? Well, one thing is should be painfully obvious is that God doesn't have anything against pregnant women or babies in the womb. Woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. God is not down on pregnant women. But let's finish this so we can get an idea of what's actually being said here. For then... Oh, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, verse 20. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, if this is to be applied internally, spiritually, how can that be? Where was the Great Tribulation 2,000 years ago? Well, you know, if you don't see this as internally, then you will never understand the Book of Revelation, because the Book of Revelation says the time is at hand. And it talks about great tribulations and earthquakes and all kinds of things. And it says, do and keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Once you accept that, once you see and accept that as a truth, not to be negotiated, then you will understand why Jesus Christ says so many times in the book of Revelation, I am he that is, was, and will be. And once you get a handle on is, was, and will be, then the Word of God opens up to you in a way that it will never be understood otherwise. You can't understand the Bible until you understand that every word of it has got to be understood in the fullness of Christ. And his fullness is, was, and will be to each generation as it comes along. So that all of these statements that we're reading about here, this great tribulation is experienced in the life of Peter as well as in the life of Mike Vinson. This great tribulation is experienced in the life of each one of God's elect down through the ages. The abomination of desolation is experienced in the life of each one of the elect down through the ages. Each one of God's elect have to hear these words of Matthew 24 verses 16 through 22. Let me read them again. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. That's when you see the abomination of desolation. That's what's being talked about here. Flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, I did a paper some time back and demonstrated scripturally with the Greek words and all that this word with child should be suckling. Those that are sucklings, those that are immature, those that are, who have refused to go beyond Hebrews 6 verse 1. That's what's being talked about here. The whole thing, the flight in the winter, the on the Sabbath day, all of these things were just present examples of how inconvenient it is for those who refuse to go on to maturity. That's all that's being said here. All of these things are, pray that you are beyond Hebrews 6 verse 1. And don't look back at laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Don't go back into your house to get your old dirty clothes. Leave them. You don't need them. Get out of Babylon. Jerusalem is Babylon in type. That great city wherein our Lord was crucified. It's a type of Babylon. Get out of there and leave all your old clothes in the house. Don't come down to get things out once you see the abomination of desolation. Once you see yourself in that great city, get out. Once you see that you are in the beast that has two horns like a lamb that comes up out of the earth, but it speaks as a dragon, get out. That will be that seventh head. That will be that seventh head of the beast. You've already been through six heads. But there's a seventh that must continue for a short time. For a short time, because once you see you're in Babylon, if God opens your eyes to see that, you'll get out. You won't hang around. If you never see it, okay. But if you see it, you will get out. You will not be entangled with that yoke of bondage. Then will be great tribulation. And oh, is it true? When you do confront your brothers with their evil works, the great tribulation sets in. They'll cast you into a pit and they'll sell you into Egypt if you're lucky enough not to be killed. Because, you know, they wanted to kill Joseph. They wanted to kill him. But the earth opened up its mouth and kept him from being killed. And yet Joseph himself went right into Egypt. Couldn't avoid it. We all do. We all go into Egypt. There's just no way around it. But there is great tribulation in coming out of Babylon. And except those days should be shortened in the lives of each one of God's elect down through the ages, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, how's that applied generation by generation? Well, right here it is. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to each one of God's elect. But God is faithful, who will not suffer his elect to be tempted above his elect or able, but will with the trial, the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the days being shortened right there. That the elect can make it. Because if Jesus Christ is not in us, if Jesus Christ is not dying in us daily and the days are not being shortened in our flesh, nobody would make it. No flesh would be saved alive. Now, right at this juncture in your walk, when you're seeing that you're in Babylon, if any man will say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Don't believe it. All of this talk about a secret rapture is a bunch of lies. To put it mildly, you know, it's a bunch of lies. Lo here, or lo there, believe it not. For there will arise false Christs and false prophets and will show great signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. That's what it says. That word signs right there is the same word translated miracles. Same word. Great miracles. Great simeons. And wonders. Inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, I've been through it so many times right here in this room, showing you 1 Corinthians 1. Paul to the church at Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That's verse 2 of chapter 1. Down in verse 7, it says, you came behind in no gift. They had all of the gifts of the Spirit. Healing, languages, real languages. They could cast out demons. They could do all the gifts of the Spirit. Knowledge, all of the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned. They had them all, according to Paul. And yet in chapter 3, they were carnal as the day is long. Just like the apostles, they did all the healings and casting out demons and all that before Christ was ever killed, before he was ever resurrected, before the day of Pentecost ever came. They were doing all the gifts of the Spirit. And they were yet carnal. And Christ tells Peter, after his resurrection, before the day of Pentecost, he says, when you're converted, feed my sheep. So, if any man will say to you, lo here or lo there, believe it not, for there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. God's elect know the difference between gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, you will not have it without Christ being in you. You will not and cannot, and there is no way you can accomplish loving your enemy without Christ being in you. And right after making that statement, he says, behold, I have told you before. You've been told. You've been told. That's what that's saying. You have been told. You've been warned. I've told you. I've made it as clear as I could. There will be signs and wonders, and the very things that most people look at as proof that God is in someone are going to be used to deceive people. The very things that people use to prove that Christ, this is a man of God, are used to deceive people. Verse 26, wherefore if they say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Behold, there's a secret rapture. Believe it not. For as the lightning shines out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I get so many letters asking me, how do you know you're God's elect? How do you know these things? And how do you know you're going to be saved and be in the first resurrection? You don't. You don't. That's why he says, be vigilant. Be on your guard every moment. Because if the good man had known what hour the thief was coming, he wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken into. And the whole point of Christ telling you that is to just constantly be on your toes. He that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls. So don't take your salvation for granted. Get rid of this idea of once in grace, always in grace. And realize that there is a need for vigilance. It's all part of God's plan. But he is not going to have someone in a position of rulership over the world who's lackadaisical about their service to God. He's going to have only those who are diligent, wholehearted in their search for him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, I think it is, says, I will be found of you when you search for me with your whole heart. That's the only time. That's the only time. That's the only time. I will be found with you, of you, when you search for me with your whole heart. Now, after he says, for the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, I've entitled this talk, What Are the Fowls of the Air? Because we're going to deal with these eagles right here in a little more detail. I don't know how long I've been talking. Is anybody? Okay. Lonnie says it doesn't matter. So we're going to talk about these eagles because, you know, it's like the rest of the Bible. You just don't know what's being said when you just see words. You don't understand what's being said if you don't go to other parts of the Bible and let it tell you what these words mean. Okay. Eagles is actually the word for vultures. Now that's something that has been relatively easy to demonstrate because there are no eagles in that part of the world. There are vultures. And vultures eat meat. Eagles do too, for that matter. They're both unclean birds and they just eat meat. Now in John 12 verse 24, he says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life will lose it. He that loses his life in this world, this Christian age, will keep it unto eternal life. You've got to be willing to give it up. Then you'll have it. Now that's what eagles eat. They eat dead meat. Vultures eat dead meat. Romans 7:24 says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Dead meat. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. More dead meat for these vultures. Where the carcass is, there will the vultures, the eagles, be gathered together. Now that's the lightning shining out of the east and coming to the west. That's Christ coming in your life. When you die to the flesh, then you give up the flesh. But it's not a pleasant thing to do. You don't give up the flesh willingly. You don't. You can sit here and listen to me talk. You can go into your room and read your Bible. And you can say, yes, I want to be where Christ is. I want to please him more than anything in this world. I want to please him. That's what I want to do. But you won't do it without a catastrophe in your life. And I'm not talking about losing your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I'm talking about a down-to-earth, bone-shaking catastrophe. Something that makes you miserable and pitiable and humiliated and crushed to powder. Only under those circumstances will the vultures come and eat your meat and you will begin at that point to grow spiritually. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians. We're talking about fowl here. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. On eagle's wings. On vulture's wings. It's through this dying to the flesh that God brings us to himself. And I'm going to repeat John 12:25. He that loves his life will lose it. He that hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life, unto life eternal. Now, in 2 Samuel 1:23, it says, this is David, he's eulogizing Saul. He's eulogizing Saul. Hey, now listen, who is Saul? Who is Saul? What does he represent? Saul is the rejected anointed. Who anointed Saul to be king? God did. Told Samuel, go down to that city that Saul's from. I can't, Gibeah, thank you. And anoint Saul to be king over Israel. God anointed Saul. God created the first Adam. I am God. I create light and darkness. I create good and evil. So we, let me read this verse and then I'll make my point. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. In their death, they were not divided. Jonathan actually helped David, but he couldn't separate himself from his father. Don't you be that way. These things are written for our admonition. But at the same time, realize that God created Babylon. God is the one who's responsible for all things. He works all things. He works, not the devil works. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I would not known sin had the law not said, thou shalt not covet. The knowledge of sin comes by the law of Moses. Don't hate the law of Moses and don't hate Babylon. Realize the function that Babylon and the law have in your life. Be grateful for the church that you went to. Be grateful that you were given the opportunity to go into Babylon so you could come out. Be grateful for having been given the opportunity to be the first Adam. Because if you're not the first Adam, you will not be the second Adam. Be grateful for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you don't eat of it first, you will not eat of the tree of life later. You eat of the tree of life after you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, getting back to the birds here. What is it that fowl generally represent, especially unclean fowl like vultures and eagles? What is it that they represent in the Bible? Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagles will eat it. What's being said here? What are these eagles doing, these birds? Well, it's 1 Corinthians 5:5 tells us exactly what it's all about. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. These birds, these false doctrines, these ministers, the adversary who comes as an angel of light devours our flesh. The earth opens up and swallows us. That's the whole point of Korah's experience. The earth opening up and swallowing him is just simply a type of us being taken into the doctrines of the world. The earth, the ground. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 22:29. Who is earth, earth, earth? Well, the chapter is directed to Judah and Jerusalem and to all who enter in by these gates. The people of God. The earth. The world. And we're swallowed up by that, just like Korah was. We live in that earth. We die in that earth, actually. We're dying. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Well, listen, this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 5, he's talking about this Corinthian fornicator right there in the midst of the church. He's living with his father's wife. Everybody knows it. Everybody's accepting him as such. You don't do that. That's called uncovering your father's nakedness. That's what that's called. That's your father's wife. You don't belong in bed with your father's wife under any circumstance. And to allow these kind of things in your midst, is not to be tolerated. I'm sorry, But if any of you want to partake in that form of life right here, we would have to ask you to quit coming to our service. If we're going to live like Paul says to do it, we've got to cut you off from our fellowship for your good, because we love you. Deliver you to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. Now, that's not saying so that you'll go out and get run over by a truck. That's talking about you learning to die to the flesh. That's what the destruction of the flesh is, so that your spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. It's because we love you that we don't allow you to touch the unclean thing. So that's what these eagles and these birds do. When the chief baker, listen to this, this is Genesis 40, verse 16, getting back to the birds. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, Joseph had just interpreted the butler's dream of the grapes. He was squeezing the grapes. The butler was the one who gave the Pharaoh his wine and gave him his cup. And when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation there. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off you, and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from off of you." And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him.
It must have been something awfully common back in those days.
What's that?
For somebody to get their head cut off.
Well, I'm sure that, when it came to displeasing a monarch like that, it just wasn't that uncommon, because he was an absolute dictator, And if you did get caught doing something wrong, it just wasn't good. But the point is, there was no mercy. But that story is secondary to the fact that these birds ate his flesh. They destroyed his flesh. Now, where did Joseph get the idea that this is what this meant? Well, listen to this. It is from God, but God had. See, we think because, there's really not much reason not to think that if you just read the Bible, we think that there was no record of anything that happened on earth up until Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Everybody believes that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and there was no record of anything up until that time. There's no really real reason to believe that. We're told specifically that people were making iron, instruments of music, tents, shaving themselves, doing all kinds of things right from the get-go, from Adam and his children. All of this was being done. And certainly they had writing. I mean, there's no reason to think otherwise. And so if you were familiar with what was said and done at creation, you would be familiar with these truths that we're about to read right here in Genesis 1. God created great whales and every living creature which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and, in other words, everything in the water, and winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now what's it saying here? What's the meaning of the creatures of the sea and the creatures of the air, the fowl? And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas. Fill the waters in the seas. And let the fowl multiply upon the earth." What is the earth? Oh, earth, earth, earth. It's God's people who are not God's elect. God's anointed, who are not his elect, are filled with foul. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, where do these fowl live? They live in the heavens of the earth. Think about that. It's right there in Genesis. And it's not the sixth day with the beasts. It's the fifth day. So that all of the spirit beings were created just ahead of men the day before. We're told that right here in type. So that when God's asked Job, he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. It was on the sixth day that the earth, that is mankind, and their relationship with God was created, because Adam was the son of God. We're told that in Luke 3 verse 28, or in the genealogy there in Luke, we're told that Adam is called the son of God. Okay, Lamentations 4 verse 19, our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that we're persecuted. And we're persecuted by those who are swifter than eagles. Now, in Matthew 13 verse 31, listen to this. I mean, we're going to get a definition here straight from the mouth of Christ. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sold in his field. Well, who is the man? Well, that's the man Jesus Christ. What is the world? I mean, what is the field? The field is the world. And this is us. This is me, Mike Vinson. This is you. Matthew 13 verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. You don't need to wonder about these things. Don't wonder about them. Just believe what Christ says. The field is the world. Esau is called a man of the field. Jacob dwelt in tents, and Esau was a man of the field. He was a man of the world. He was the first born of the same mother and father that Jacob was, but rejected. And Jacob supplanted him because he dwelt in tents, temporary dwellings. He was not attached to this world. And that's all in type. Jacob was a very carnal man. Matthew 13:29. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather my wheat into the barn. Now, in that same chapter, just a couple of verses later, Matthew 13 verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, talking about the mustard seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge therein. This is the parable of the mustard seed. What are all the parables? All the parables are about the kingdom of God. All of them. And not talking about the kingdom of God during the millennium and the white throne judgment. Talking about the kingdom of God from now till Christ. It'll be applicable then, because it'll all be true even then. The kingdom of God needs to be cleansed. Cleansed of its heavens and of its earth. And the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of this mustard seed, this kingdom of God. It's full of unclean spirits. Now, Revelation 12, verse 4, to the woman. This woman is said to be the church, and indeed it is. But what no one understands is her condition. But let's read about it. To the woman in Revelation 12, the woman that brings forth the man-child that is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, while she herself goes into the wilderness, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness under her place. This is the fowl again, the unclean fowl. where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time. Now, we read back in Exodus where God said, I brought Israel, talking about Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt on eagle's wings. What happened in the wilderness? When God brought them out, he said, I bring you unto me this way. What happened in the wilderness? What is the history of Israel in the wilderness? We're about to find out here. Into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, just to give you an idea what this time, times, and half a time has to do with, Revelation 11, verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,203 days clothed in sackcloth. Where? In the streets of that great city. Speaking to this very woman right here of Revelation 12, the very next chapter. They're going to speak for 1,203 days. She's going to be in the wilderness 1,203 days. Time, times, and half time. It's all the same time. It's just hidden. So that 1,203 days tells us, when you see that word and it appears in different ways all through the Bible, tells us that this is the time of our witnessing to the people of God. This is the time of their hearing us witness, depending on whether it's talking about that great city or the two witnesses. But it's the same period of time. Now let's see what happens during this time. Numbers 14:22. This is when Israel was in the wilderness. Because all those men which have seen my glory by my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, surely they will not see the land that I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But, now here's God's elect right here. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Another spirit. These are God's people. Yeah, they're God's people. Korah said, they're all holy. The whole congregation is holy. Every one of them. That's what the whole Christian world tells us to this day. Everybody's holy. They've all said the sinner's prayer. They've all put the blood on the doorpost. They've all gone through the Red Sea. They're all holy. Every one of them. And you, Aaron and Moses, you take too much upon yourself. You walk around with your coat of many colors thinking you're going to rule over us. Oh, no, no, no. We got 250 elders of the people, renowned in the congregation. That's everybody. This is the ministers of Babylon. That's who they are. These are the leaders of Israel, the leaders of God's people. They all agree with me that you and Moses are taking too much upon yourself. And what happens? What happens to Korah and these 250 people? The earth opens up its mouth and swallows them. They get taken in by the earth, and the earth is just a parable for God's called and rejected carnal babes in Christ who think they are so mature. They have another spirit. They have another spirit from what we have, and we have another spirit from what they have. Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither into he went, and his seed will possess it. So what are the fowls of the air? What are they? Evil spirits, false ministers, false doctrines. Try the spirits, because many false prophets have gone forth into the world. Where is that? First Timothy 4 or somewhere. Anyway, it's there. Try the spirits. Because many false prophets have gone forth into the world. Matthew 13 verse 4 just comes right out and says it. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Matthew 13 verse 19 explains that. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, this is Jesus Christ in both cases talking. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes that wicked one. Then comes that wicked one. And catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, we're going to stop there. And that's verse 28 of Matthew 24. We'll take in right there the next time we get together, and we may be here, we may be at the house, but we'll carry on from there because I know we've gone over time already. But now you know what the fowls of the air are. You know that it is the false ministers and the false doctrines that are filling the branches of the mustard seed, which represents the church between Christ's death and resurrection and the establishing of the kingdom, the outward kingdom on the earth. And now you're aware of his devices and you know what to do about it. Take it upon yourself to be aware of the fact that there is a meaning behind the letters. And I'll be saying that every time we get together, because it's so hard to look at the Bible and not just see what's in front of you. It's hard to get beyond it. So hard that very few people can do it, but it can be done. All right, is there anything I've said that has provoked any questions, or is there anything that's unclear to anybody that you think I just haven't covered? Well, if not, then we'll close with prayer and go from there. Frank, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come out and hear your word. Father, we pray that you will give us a better understanding, give us a spiritual insight of your word. And Father, we ask that you bless Mike's ministry in all that he does, where he goes, be with him. And Father, we ask that you keep us all safe as we journey home this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Frank. And by the way, just so everybody will know, Billy, is this still recording? Okay, good. Because I'd like for this to go out. We're going to have another conference. The guys invited me to come up to Marshall, Michigan in April 22nd and 23rd. That's a weekend, of course. And he's already got a community center there, and that's at the crossroad of two freeways in southern Michigan. And we're going to be going up there April the 22nd and 23rd. And if anybody can show up, it'd be good to have you there. Because these little discs go out now to about 30 different people, and they're increasing all the time. So anybody that's hearing this, we'd like to have you there. Okay. All right. We'll see you next time. Next time will be...